41. Candlelight and Tears. Office windows flickered past very close beyond the earthquake-bandaged uprights of the expressway. Taller buildings gave way to a lower sprawl, then something bright in the middle distance. Hotel King Midas. The dashboard map began to bleep. Third exit right, Lainey said, watching the cursor. He felt her accelerate and heard the speed limit warning kick in. Another glittering sign. Freedom Shower Banff. Lainey-san, Yamazaki said around the headrest. Did you apprehend any suggestion of Rez's death or other misfortune?
No, but I wouldn't, not unless there was a degree of intentionality that would emerge from the data. Accidents, actions by anyone who isn't represented.
The clanging stopped as she slowed, approaching the exit indicated on the map.
But I saw their data as streams, merging. And whatever it was merging around seemed to be where we're going.
Arlie made the exit. They were on the off-ramp now, swinging through a curve, and Lainey saw three young girls, their shoes clumped with mud, descending a sharp slope, planted with some kind of pale, rough grass. One of them seemed to be wearing a school uniform, knee socks and a short plaid skirt. They looked unreal in the harsh, sodium light of the intersection. But then Arlie stopped the van, and Lainey turned to see the road in front of them, completely blocked by a silent, unmoving crowd.
Jesus, Arlie said. The fans.
If there were boys in the crowd, Lainey didn't see them. It was a level sea of glossy black hair. Every girl facing the white building that rose there with its white, brilliantly illuminated sign framed by something meant to represent a coronet. Hotel Die. Arlie powered down her window, and Lainey heard the distant wail of a siren.
We'll never get through, Lainey said.
Most of the girls held a single candle, and the combined glow danced among the tear-streaked faces. They were so young, these girls. Children. Kathy Torrance had particularly loathed that about Lowrez, the way their fan base had refreshed itself over the years with a constant stream of pubescent recruits, girls who fell in love with Rez and the endless present of the net, where he could still be the 20-year-old of his earliest hits.
Pass me that black case, Arlie said, and Lainey heard Yamazaki scrabbling through the bubble pack.
A flat rectangular carrying case appeared between the seats. Lainey took it.
Open it, she said.
Lainey undid the zip, exposing something flat and gray. The Lowrez logo on an oblong sticker. Arlie pulled it from its case, put it on the dashboard, and ran her finger around its edge looking for a switch. Lowrez, mirror reversed in large luminous green letters, appeared on the windshield. Asterisk, asterisk, tour support vehicle, asterisk, asterisk. The asterisks began to flash. Arlie let the van roll forward a few inches. The girls directly in front turned, saw the windshield, and stepped aside. Silently, gradually, a few feet at a time, the crowd parted for the van. Lainey looked out across the black, center-parted heads of the grieving fans and saw the Russian, the one from the Western world, still in his white leather evening jacket, struggling through the crowd. The girls' heads came barely to his waist, and he looked as though he were wading through black hair and candle glow. The expression on his face was one of confusion, almost of terror. But when he saw Lainey at the window of the green van, he grimaced and changed course, heading straight for them.